Welcome, Manifiners. Welcome to episode 2. Thank you so much for listening. If your app is still on, please click subscribe. I want to continue to get to know you over time, and I want to encourage you again to comment and leave your thoughts and reflections on our Facebook or just email me directly at alinabard.com before we start. I've had a really encouraging and fulfilling week. Your praise and encouragement and excitement for this podcast has confirmed that I made the right choice and only made me super pumped for the future. I believe that this work will reach the right people at the right time in their lives. So thank you again for reminding me of that throughout the week. Today we're going to talk about vulnerability and why people suck. I sat in a lounge by a fireplace today to meditate on this podcast and think about what I needed to share with you. And I was listening to another podcast and inspiring people and catching up on the world and feeding my soul. And I finished listening to Noel Green's A Typical Geek podcast, and it made me laugh out loud and smile at some point. And the server walked up to me and said, "I don't know if you read something funny or what, but that was the most beautiful smile." And I'm sure he probably won't hear this, but thank you for bringing light into my world today. I believe in karma, and I tell you, a compliment like that can keep a brief smile sticking on your face all day long. So I'm still smiling right now as I finally come back and record for you. It's a joy that I welcome you again. If you were here in my home with me, I would offer you coffee and a really comfy chair. I'm all about hospitality, and it's hard to know if I'm being welcoming enough just in tone. I keep waking up and hearing this voice that whispers to me in the morning. It says, "Feed your soul first." And I did that yesterday. I didn't look at all your lovely comments until I sat and read a little and sipped a cup of coffee. And I can tell you, it was amazing how much energy I still had at the end of the day. With my many endeavors, it's crucial that I keep myself positive and encouraged and real and vulnerable and humble, and I need to keep my bucket full. And every time I interact with someone, I know that a spoonful of my energy and positivity passes over to them. And if I stay plugged into the earth and groundedness and God and my purpose, then I know that I can keep my bucket full no matter how much I serve others. And I just want to encourage you, because I really, really believe that's the same for you. I hope that you can wake up in the morning and hear my voice telling you, maybe, feed your soul first. Before you start your day, I challenge you this week to check in with yourself, to reflect on what you want to do that day, and read or listen to something that feeds your soul, absorb something that feeds you before you move to work for others and give to your fellow man, give of yourself. So whether you start the day with a book or a quad espresso like I do, or a cigarette — I know that some of you do that, not the best thing maybe, but some of you need that — or whether you start with great music or walking the dog, I hope that it will be a meditative moment for you this week to recognize and check in with yourself and see if you're still drained from yesterday, or if you're just running and going, going, going. If you just breathe and release all the anxiety and pressure you feel, just stand outside and visualize from the top of your head all the way down to your toes, kind of like a tube of toothpaste, something squeezing out all the negativity and just pushing it out of your feet and into the ground. I hope that you will be able to release the pressure that you feel from carrying the world on your shoulders. I really believe that you can reset yourself that way, and before a meeting, walk in refreshed or just recharged and with a new mindset. It's amazing how fast it'll just change your perspective to do that and release it to the universe, to the earth, to the ground. Trust that God can handle a bigger weight than you can. I've been thinking a lot this week about how we live in this world of distraction and social media. And I can say, especially after this week, that with complete honesty, that creativity comes out of boredom and connection comes out of putting your phone away. I lost my Apple Watch a few days ago, and I feel like this layer of haze has been kind of removed from my life. I feel more aware of the people around me and more wary of the habit of picking up my phone all the time. And when I find it, I think I might just wear it on days that I'm working weddings because it's just too easy. It's too addictive, if I may say so, for us to care what people think, for us to feel like we have to respond instantly, for us to get distracted by scrolling, and it's not uplifting. We never feel uplifted. So if you find yourself just scrolling mindlessly, I believe that you're looking for a pick-me-up. So stop scrolling. Put it down right now if you're multitasking and looking at social media while you listen to this. Well, stop. Call someone. Listen to this or something that encourages you. Read a book. Seek learning and growth instead of just social news. I think that you know what I'm talking about. It's social news is just as biased as TV. It's mostly BS and kind of repetitive and exaggerated or just depressing, really, with only these like tiny gems of truth that you have to hunt for. I don't really keep up on the news. I've been great at not watching TV, but I have definitely not perfected the skill of being worried about what people think of me. I haven't been able to let go of that. And so we all struggle with what other people think of us and how we present ourselves to the world and the pressure of responding. And if you didn't notice, one of my biggest fears right now and something I want to get out on the table in this podcast is that I often switch back and forth when I speak about God and the universe. I was raised Christian, and I've gone to George Fox Evangelical Seminary, soon to be called Portland Seminary. Congrats to them. I'm so excited. And yet, even though I went to seminary, in today's world, I often say universe because I'm really afraid of offending people. So just from the bottom of my heart, I'm not trying to offend anyone if I say God instead of some other higher power, and I'm not trying to offend anybody if I say him instead of her. That's the tradition I grew up in, and it's what's most comfortable for my personal relationship with God, but it's definitely not to put that on other people, and not that my God box isn't bigger than those terms. But I have to be vulnerable. I have to say that, otherwise you're going to listen to my voice and never know who I really am or what the deeper meaning is. So I just want to give you a short version of kind of my history and religion, I suppose, just so you kind of know where I'm coming from, as this is a spiritual podcast, and it'll give you an idea of where I come from. But I'm not easily labeled, and I'm not easily put in a box, and I hope that you won't think of me as a typical Christian. I'm not the type to respond with scripture, and I don't have a master's in divinity. What pastors have, I have a degree for forming souls. And so really it's a program, or it was a program at GFES for transforming my own soul. And it proved to me that God is in the business of transforming souls, whether we want him to or not. So I grew up in a Lutheran elementary school, and it was Martin Luther who wrote the 95 theses and or theses, and they're really disputations he had with the Catholic Church. And I always heard the story that he nailed them on the door at the church, and probably a few ones after kind of like Googling it. But that's a Protestant branch of Christianity. And then I was brought up in a church that was Assemblies of God. And that's where you'll definitely see my lean towards the Holy Spirit and towards good and evil. And so I would definitely now call myself non-denominational or without a church. I tend to say that I'm spiritual and not religious, that the church is the body of all believers rather than a group to me. But when I say the church, and you hear me say that in future podcasts, I don't really mean the community if I'm saying it negatively. I'm really talking about the leadership and kind of the publicized American judgmental church that you hear about, and kind of my thoughts against that. So this weird and unusual combination, I think, as a young girl of both a Protestant and a Pentecostal tradition, plus a very amazing set of parents who taught me a lot and let me ask questions and let me experience things in new ways, because they also thought outside the God box. Assemblies of God was, they always used to tell me, like, the closest they could get to what they believed, but not quite perfectly on par with things. But it gave me this very unique combination, I think. I at least saw that in my friends at seminary, that no one quite thought of things the same way I did, which is a good thing and a bad thing maybe. But it boils down to a few universal truths, and I'm just going to give you a snapshot of the ones that I feel strongly I need to be vulnerable about and put out on the table right away, that I believe in the Trinity. I believe in Jesus as our Savior and a human example of how to live a rebellious and truthful and vulnerable life, and believe in God as our Father and Creator. And we'll get more into Creator, I'm sure, in future podcasts. I love to think of him as Creator. I love Genesis as my favorite book in the Bible, and the stories in the Bible are the most motivational part for me. I think story is our life force in a lot of ways, and kind of the genuine way to share truth is only through experience. And the Bible gives us very old experience, but very complex and diverse experience, I suppose, for lack of a better word at this moment. So I believe it's this Creator God that holds my atoms together and gifts me everything I have. But moving on, I also believe in the Holy Spirit as our guide and conscience, and that this triune God is the force and the energy in the universe. And so if I do say universe, then to me that's the same exact energy and the same exact force as this triune God. And I believe that's a loving and complex and very simple God, actually. And that's a great paradox. I hope that you're willing to explore that with me. So my version of God, hopefully, is much bigger than the church teaches. And it's very complex and passionate and full of love and goodness. But don't quit on me yet. I am the type of person to respond to you when you ask me a question with universal and fundamental truths that you'd probably agree with no matter who you are and no matter what you believe. I can provide people with spiritual direction no matter what they believe, probably. I mean, if you worship your dog, I'm probably not the right girl for you. But my dog teaches me a whole lot about unconditional love and about God, and that's a topic for another day. So I don't fit in a box. I don't wear labels easily, and my God doesn't either. And I'm the Christian who wears crystals and stones and reads Rob Bell and Richard Rohr, but also Gabby Bernstein and Harry Potter and the Iron Druid series. I love that series. And listens to podcasts instead of going to church. So Christians will tell you that makes me gray. And to say all that on this podcast, that's pretty scary, because the non-Christians are wary of me for saying Jesus, and the Christians are wary of me because I have a certificate in holistic kinesiology and a Tibetan prayer flags in my yard and, you know, everything else I just named, Harry Potter and Iron Druid. So it's scary to label myself and put this out there, but I hope that this is kind of a middle, actually. I think it's pretty normal for any of us who have critically looked at our experience in the church and how it's shaped us as we've grown up, and we always have questions and we wonder who we've become and why, and the things that have motivated us and given us these fundamental beliefs that we've grown up with, and some of those need to be challenged. And so I don't follow all the rules. Reality is a lot more complex than religion, and it's more complex than science, for that matter. So after that huge confession, everyone's going to think I need deliverance, but I hope it brings hope to you also. If you are searching for more and a safe place to deal with that complexity and wonder about new things and wonder about the world, I believe that God is just as complicated and yet just as simple as the world is. And so you're in the right place. If you've been jaded by the church and you want God and spirituality be a part of your life, but you don't want any part of the flashing lights on Christmas, then you're in the right place. And if you're looking for support and community, this can hopefully grow into seeking that out even more between those of us that feel that way, who want this raw and real truth and want to critically look at things. So I want to come full circle and end with a story not about God, but about self-consciousness and vulnerability, because obviously this has been a practice in vulnerability for myself, but I also want to talk about why people suck. I said I would do that. So I have a short story for you that it cracks me up every time my husband and I go out to a diner. He always gets a chocolate malt and he'll get a craving for them and I want to go out for a hamburger and a malt. And I hate it. I hate malt. It's like chalk and milk. And why people sell this as a dessert makes no freaking sense to me. So all of you malt lovers, I'm a hater. I'm sorry. Don't judge. There's more of it for you in the world. You can have it. I'll give you all the Whoppers. So when he's feeling particularly nice to me, we'll go out and he will get a shake instead of a malt and ask me if I want some and try to share it with me. And the problem with this lovely gesture is that he will not so secretly hope and guile me into drinking out of two straws like Lady and the Tramp, like nose to nose, like a cute 50 Coca-Cola's poster, and all happy and in love. And I love him with all my heart. I really do. But it kind of makes me want to barf. Do you ever feel like that? Like someone near you is so good at being wonderful that you just can't even. So we were sitting at the El Cafe one night, and this is a while ago, and it's a great diner with burgers and shakes, and it hits me as I stare across the table at him that this is why people suck. We cannot embrace the silly and the lovely. We fear showing our true selves, even in a crowded room, all distracted by their own lives. We fight against being ourselves for what other people in the diner will think. What are they going to do? Look at us funny? Be jealous that we're barf level in love? Maybe. But so what? I'm in love, right? Do I deserve to just be myself and be myself in that relationship? And so maybe they're going to be inspired by that, to suck a little less themselves, to hunt for love like that for themselves. So it kind of cracks me up how these simple things in life remind me of these really big life-changing things, and that's the point of Monifonies. And so sucking on straws, especially if it's two out of the same glass, reminds me that people suck and that I don't want to. I refuse to. I need to embrace the good and the silly and the ridiculously stretching things that my husband does to make me love him even more. I need to be human with him and everywhere I go, on this podcast, with my clients, with my friends and my family. I don't know if you've ever heard of the phrase of a vulnerability hangover, but it's when you wake up the next morning and or later in the afternoon and it hits you like a ton of bricks that you were too vulnerable and you did something and you start to shud yourself and shame yourself and think all about how you shouldn't have done that and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sure I'll wake up in the morning with a vulnerability hangover, but hopefully I'll get over it before Monday when I see responses from people. If you know what that feels like and you recognize that vulnerability hangover feeling, then I hope you'll get on and share. And I know it's kind of hard to be vulnerable even to tell us about your vulnerability, but share on our Facebook and let us know how you survived. I might need a little bit of that this week. Your challenge, though, this week at least, is to be aware, to put yourself in check when you feel anxious, to recognize when you're running, to stop, pause, and remind yourself why you do what you do, whether it's for your lover or your higher power or yourself. I hope it's for yourself, but whatever or whoever holds you accountable and motivated, be aware of them. Don't be distracted by the world and by your phone. Connect with people. Connect with them out in the world. Be vulnerable and connect with us too. It can be through social media. It just has to be authentic and genuine and real. So I want to use this catchphrase and give you a little teaser for next week. I've been thinking about the three R's also: recognize, release, and reset yourself. I'll talk about those more next week on a different topic. But for now, when you see yourself headed in a direction that doesn't support your highest purpose, that doesn't bring your full intentionality to light, then recognize it, release it, and reset yourself on the right path and the right mindset. Recognize when other people show themselves as vulnerable or wear their heart on their sleeve. Recognize when you feel that hangover feeling or when you're distracted, and then release it. Accept them for who they are, accept yourself for who you are and in your own weaknesses and strengths, and including for distraction, including for vulnerability, and then reset yourself and choose to walk down a different path or to be loving towards them and give them grace or give yourself grace. If this epiphany has impacted your life for the better, I hope that you will continue to listen and subscribe. I know this was kind of a heavy one, so please give me grace as well. And please leave a review, share, and subscribe with everyone that you know. And please leave us your thoughts on Facebook or email me. Like I said earlier at the beginning, you can go to alinabard.com and then there's a contact box at the bottom. From the bottom of my soul, I hope, as usual, that this has been a minifany.